Michael Jackhead. Shalom. We are in Enaya, in Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat, on the Agarata, and we're in Piska Kavav, which I believe we started last time, so we'll just go quickly through the Gemara. This is in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kav Gimel, page 23. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bishvil Arba Dvarim Amra Torah, Laniach Pe'a Besov Sadeu. There, the Torah says, gives four reasons. There are four reasons why the Torah says to leave the pe'ah. When a person has a field, he has to leave the corner, one of the corners of the field, unpicked, to leave it for the poor people. Why at the end of the field? Mipnei gezel aniyim. You will explain this one by one in the next sentence. One, not to steal from the poor people. Two, mipnei bitul aniyim, so as not to waste the time of the poor people. Three, mipnei achshad, so people don't think that he doesn't leave pe'ah. And four, mishum bal techaleh, where the isur of don't cut the corner of your field. Explains the Gemara. Mipnei gezel aniyim shelo yirae bal habayit sha'a pnuya v'yomer lekrovo ani hareze pe'ah. Right, that we're worried that the balabai, the owner of the field, might do a little trick, tell his friend, the poor person, I'm going to declare this and this corner on this and this day. You come exactly then, and you'll be the one who gets to reap the whole corner. And that's unfair to the other poor people. That's the first reason. Number two, in other words, why do we leave it on the corner of the field, at the end of the field, so that everyone knows where it's going to be, and it's, you can't surprise the poor people. Number two, mipnei bitul aniyim, shelo yu aniyim yoshvinu mishamrin achshav miniach balabait peah, so that the poor people won't have to sit and wait and wait and wait until the balabait declares, this is my peah. Number three, mipnei achshad, shelo yu ovrim veshavim omrim tavo me'ara, a curse should come al adam shelo iniach pe'a besadeu. Right, that everyone might think, hey, this guy's not leaving the corner of the field. So, and they don't think, well, it might be on the other side, it might be somewhere else. So therefore we establish that it's always going to be in a corner of the field, even if it's not on your corner, where you're standing, so it might be on one of the other corners. And because of the prohibition to reap the entire field. As the Gemara, Atukulu lav mishum bal techaleninu. All right, that's exactly the question. We asked, why is there an isur of bal techaleh? Why is there a prohibition to reap the whole field? And that leave it in the corner. Amarava mipnei haramain. Because of the cheaters that Rashi explains, Ne'aramayim, hovrim alot chale, v'omrim kvar hinach nua. Though they might cheat, and they say, well, we left it already, and you just didn't see it. Or it's somewhere hiding in the middle of the field.
It's like a shell game at carnivals. It's not here, it's there. It's not there, it's here.
Yeah. Okay. Piska Kavav, 26. Tanya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, I think we might have pointed out this last time, that Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that he is very into ta'amei ha-mitzvot, the taste of the mitzvot, usually mistranslated as the reason of the mitzvot. I think we spoke about that at least once, that we don't know the reason why, what caused God to command a certain mitzvah, but we talk about the taste, ta'amei ha-mitzvah, what makes the mitzvah tasty, that we should have that much more motivation when we see the benefit. So it's that Rabbi Shimon, who points out the four benefits, why the Torah says to leave the pe'ah, to leave the portion for the poor people at the corner, one of the corners of the fields. Yesod ha-drisha b'tamei mitzvot banui al pi yediyat ha-emet besod ha-chochma ha-elohit. The basis of darshaning, of learning out the ta'amei ha-mitzvot, again, the reasoning or the taste of the mitzvot, is based upon yedi'at ha'emet, knowing the truth, besod ha'chokhma elokit, of the secret of how God runs the world. Ech shekol ma shehoveh ba'olam, how every single thing that happens in the world, even though it comes about through one cause or another cause or maybe two causes together, the famous question in social studies, did the man make the time or did the times make the man? And it's usually certain amount of this, certain amount of that, if it's 60-40, 50-50, 70-30. But there are usually, for most things in life, there are several reasons, right? Why did you marry this girl? Why did you choose her? Right? If you start making reasons, there are, you come up with a lot of different combination of reasons. Ve'afilu otana yotzot misibot minagim enoshiim munhagim biratzon o be'askama. Even certain things that are connected with a man's role. Right? Lich ora. There's a famous question that Rav Kook deals with in at least three places that I remember. Remember one we learned together about 3-4 years ago. The interaction between, on the one hand, man has free will, and on the other hand, God runs the show. And how do those two points jive together? And just to review in a nutshell, in the Kabbalah, they say it's, to use a modern mashal, Rav Aryeh Kaplan likens it to a chess game, where each of the players has free will to move his pieces wherever he wants. On the other hand, he has to take into account the other player, the rules of the game, etc. Rav Kook in Ma'amarei HaRi'ah, in his Hesped for the Baron Hayadua, for Baron Rothschild, I think that's where we learned it together 3 or 4 years ago, he says that God writes a script for history. There is a program, but there is free will for each person to decide what role they want to play in the play, right? Like a teacher comes to fifth grade, says we're going to put on Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat. Who wants to play Joseph? Who wants to play Jacob? Who wants to play Shimon and Levi? Everyone chooses a role. So here also, Herzl chose to play that historic role of the person who awakens the national rebirth of the Jewish people. If it wasn't Herzl, it would have been somebody else. On the other hand, we have to give all the credit to Herzl. Rav Kook says, isn't talking there about Herzl, he's talking about Baron Rothschild. He says, if it wasn't Baron Rothschild, it probably would have been somebody else. Nevertheless, a guy who it wasn't, right. I once saw that at the founding of the State of Israel, they published that Baron Rothschild had contributed more than the rest of the Jews and the organizations put together by a large margin. Whereas he had contributed more than everyone else put together. It was unbelievable. So the numbers
could it
also.
Have been somebody else, if he hadn't felt like it, who would have done it?
So maybe it would have been a combination of other people. But the time was right. And the same thing when we're talking about Ta'amei HaMitzvot. Lichora, when the Rambam sits down to write the Guide for the Perplexed, and he wants to write an explanation of, again, I don't want to call it a reason, but an explanation of a benefit of a certain mitzvah. At first glance, it's the Rambam's creativity, genius, original thought, which is writing the Ta'amei HaMitzvah. On the other hand, the Sefer HaChinuch writes something different. The Ramban writes something different. I think last time I brought the book The Mitzvot by Rabbi Avram Chill, which was originally in English, translated to Hebrew, who does a fantastic job of collecting all of the, many of the Ta'amei HaMitzvot on each individual mitzvah. So the question is, how do you relate? If there are 4 or 5 explanations to a mitzvah, is 1 correct? Is 2 correct? Should I learn 3? Should I learn all 5? So Rav Kook says, even that which seems to come about through human intelligence and desire, beratzon, o behaskama, were that certain people agreed on a certain idea, or even if a social group or an entire nation accepts a certain thought, a certain explanation, everything is part of the godly plan that these explanations had to come out. And here we see a very interesting, an original explanation of the relationship between the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, where the written law was given by God 3,300 years ago. But as the Maharal writes, God didn't just give us the Torah and abandon it, right? It's illogical that any person who gives something valuable or something important, that he just leave it, hefker, right? Chaos, let it happen, whatever happens. But God watches over, mitzitz min acharakim, is peeking through the cracks to make sure that what comes about, it's really his desire. Okay? This is where we got up to last time. Ve'otam ha'orot ha'sichliim she'yotzim al yedei p'gishat ha'sichel enoshi im mishpatei ha'torah, and those intellectual lights. Rav Kook is going to mention here several times the idea of lights, which is obviously a key word. All of his sfarim, all of the cookbooks are called lights, orot, where, as he explains in Inayah at the beginning of Perek Vav, if I remember correctly, on the bracha of Borei Me'orei Ha'ish, right? We paskin like Beit Hillel, that we don't make the bracha Borei Me'or Ha'ish, that God created the light of fire, but in the plural, Me'orei Ha'ish, the lights of fire, where the beauty of light is that there, it has all the different colors of the spectrum, all the colors of the rainbow are expressed there in harmony. So here, the different lights of logic, even though they're different, but they are meant to harmonize together, שיוצים לו ידי פגישת השכל האנושי עם משפטי התורה, which come about through the meeting. It's interesting, in a lot of times in the world, like in chemistry, when two different chemicals come together, there is a special reaction. The same thing if two chavrutot, two people are sitting together and learning a sugya, they might come up with another idea that one of them would have understood differently if it was learning with a different chavruta. There's a certain idea of chemistry. The same thing with the idea that when a person's thought comes in contact with the Torah, like when striking a match, two materials working in friction together, they produce a new light. And that is each and every one of the Tameya mitzvot, of the explanations of her each and every mitzvah, is part of the godly desire.
And I'll
save
for the end.
Okay. Hem toladot ne'emanot shehuncha lekach. Rav Kook says, even though it looks like it was me or the Rambam or somebody who suggested this reason, it's toldot ne'emanot. These are reliable, faithful explanations, shehunchu lekach, which were prepared. They were planted in the mitzvah, just waiting for the right time and the right person to develop. And this is, again, an idea that we've seen in the past, where Rav Kook writes in one of his igrot, we learned this also about 4 years ago, regarding the theory of Darwin, that Darwin's theory, it had to come at the right time. Every different people, different theories, every theory comes at the right time when it's good for mankind. When it's good for mankind to realize that the world is revolves around the sun, and not geocentric, and not homocentric. Right? These ideas come at the right time. They are realized for mankind at the right time. Even though they were planted in there, through the meeting of a certain person in a certain time with a certain mitzvah. And which of them is correct? And this, I think, we mentioned last time. Very often, Rav Kook isn't saying this explicitly about his suggestions for the Tamei Mitzvot, although we mentioned that his Sefer Afikim Banegev is the most original, widespread explanation of the mitzvot, of each and every mitzvah. He and Rav Hirsch, I would say, they're the two great thinkers of the last 200 years, which allowed themselves to suggest a lot of original reasons. And when you look at the reasons of the Rambam, which might have been good in his time, they just don't speak to us anymore. Or if you have a large percentage of the Rambam's, it's all in Chelek Gimel, in the third part of the Guide for the Perplexed, where he says, why don't we eat meat and milk together? Because that was the way Avodah Zarah, the paganists, used to do. And why don't we eat blood? Oh, that was the way the paganists. And every other answer is, oh, that's the way the paganists do. And today, paganism is not on the agenda. So what, does that mean that the Torah doesn't have what to say to modern man? Rav Kook is saying, if the Rambam were alive today, he probably would suggest another reason. Something which is that much more palatable and meaningful to modern man. The same thing with what we're learning here, Einaya. Anybody who's taught Agarata knows the disappointment that we have when we go through the Ein Yaakov, or often the Maharal and the Ben Yehoyada. And you're just looking for an explanation that doesn't speak to you, and this doesn't speak to you, and this doesn't speak to you, and then all of a sudden, oh, Einaya has an unbelievably high percentage of ideas that speak to modern man. That's not coincidence, because Rav Kook was a modern man, and this is the time, and this is the place, and he is the person to come up with these ideas. Alken, im yesh lekol lechad mina mitzvot drachim rabim, if every single one of the mitzvot has a lot of different directions, has a lot of different benefits. There is the Hasidic benefit, and there's the mystical benefit, and the philosophical benefit, and the national benefit, and the individual, and the moral, and there are so many different benefits. The Rambam says it very nicely at the end of Hilchot Tmura, at the end of Sefer Korbanot. The Rambam, at the end of almost every one of the 14 books of the Arach HaZakah, finishes off, like in the Gemara, with a nice agadic idea. And when he talks about Korbanot, check it out, you have homework. Afalpi, Shekol, and I learned from experience never to say all, because there's always one person who says, hey, but there was a... Ve'en mari... Ra'ui l'itbonen bahen, the Rambam says, it's good to look, to examine the mitzvot. V'chol ma she'ata yachol liten lo ta'am, ten lo ta'am. There's a famous quote. Any ta'am, again, literally, it means taste. Any benefit, any explanation that you can suggest, give it. Don't hold back. In other words, it might be that... Even somebody in the group here, maybe even an 18-year-old in some classroom in some yeshiva, might come up, even a 15-year-old might come up with a good original reason. And your first reaction might be, oh, hold it in, you know, who am I to suggest a new reason? What, the Rambam didn't think of this? And the Rambam says, whatever you can do, throw it out. Not throw it in the garbage. Present it, put it on the table, suggest it. Again, kol ma she'ata yachol liten lo ta'am, ten lo ta'am. Harei amru chachamim harishonim, she'amelech Shlomo hevin rov ha'ta'amim shel kol chukei ha'Torah. Again, Shlomo HaMelech, in his great godly, God blessed him with this special wisdom, he understood what?
Most.
In other words, even he, in all of his wisdom, there's certain things that the Rambam came up with almost 2,000 years later, that Shlomo HaMelech didn't know. He knew most of the mitzvot. Right? Different perspective, different person, different personality, different intelligence. The Rambam and the Greek...
Required the time as a catalyst to connect the person to that idea.
Yeah. The Aristotelian ideas, which are found in some of the Rambam's Tamei Mitzvot, which wouldn't have sold in previous generations, and also many of them don't sell today. Okay? I think I don't remember if I mentioned the last time, even in my 25 years of teaching, I've seen ideas that used to go over so well 20 years ago, and over time they just don't speak to 20-year-olds anymore. And things change, people change. Yer Eli, Sheze Sheamara Katuva Yahu Utmurato Ye Kodesh, Kinyan Sheamar, etc., etc. We'll just see if there's anything else here in the Rambam. V'chol elu advarim, all these reasons or benefits of the mitzvot, kedei lakuf et yitzro letaken deotav, for a person to fix himself, to accept orders from a higher, more intelligent being, to fix his thoughts. V'rov dinei ha-Torah einan ela etzot mirachok. Most of the mitzvot of the Torah are but suggestions from afar. Etzot mirachok, Rav Kook also has an article called Etzot mirachok, obviously from this pasuk. Migadol ha-itza, from the greatest of all suggestors, God, litakena deyot uliyasher kol ha-masim, for us to fix our in deyot. Then the Rambam, the word deyot means also ideas and also character traits, and the idea is for us to get to be better people. And what's beautiful about the mitzvot is that they're eternal, and that every generation has new ideas. Again, alken. Im yesh lekol echad min ha-mitzvot, if every single one of the mitzvot has drachim rabim, many different explanations, many different benefits, shekula musagim liyot nechonim letachliyot utamim elea, and every single one of them has a benefit, has a place, is correct. The Rav Kook, who again probably deals with the Ta'mei HaMitzvot more than any other rabbi of the last 100 years, in Ma'amari Re'iyah, page 21, 22, 23, he has an interesting compilation of a list of all the Ta'mei HaMitzvot, that they all can fall into the following categories. Barbaru chotav ha-mimal'im et kol chalalo shel ha'olam ha-tarbuti. The four topics which fill our cultural or our spiritual life. Haruach ha-eloki. Certain explanations of mitzvot are godly. Number two, ruach ha-musar ha-muchlat. Morality. But not just human morality, the godly, objective, eternal morality. Number three, haruach ha-emuni. The spirit of belief, of faithfulness. I could spend a whole shiur on discussing this word in the writings of Rav Kook. Veruach ha-le'umi, and national benefit. Also for the good of the nation of Israel, for the good of the national culture, for the national welfare, the national pride, the national economy, to deter thieves, etc., etc. Okay, these are the four major topics which, according to Rav Kook, encompass all of the explanations of all of the mitzvot. Al yachshov ha-choshev, kidai liyaches rak echad min ha-ta'amim. And just as you thought you understood, okay, I understood the paragraph, comes Rav Kook, and he adds another idea. Don't ever think that you understood it all. And don't think that you should give or limit yourself to only one explanation. Right? Very often, any educator knows that when preparing a shiur, especially like a Divrei Torah here on Friday night, just the last week when I spoke, I was going to mention two ideas. And then I chose between them because I know, especially in 10 minutes, but even if you have a longer time, it's better to give one idea and to explain it well, and to, like the Masilat Yesharim, the Ramchal talks about in the modern explanation, we would call it the hose theory. Right? If you want to spritz the hose to the farthest bushes where it doesn't reach, you cover it with your thumb, and that way you're directing it more through the tzimtzum, through the constricting the area, the pressure. You add to the pressure.
Right.
Okay? So...
It depends more on the attention spans as well.
Oh, now...
Point theory.
I'm already going to ask parenthetically, Rav Kook doesn't mention when dealing with children, because by children, the idea of simplification is even more important. And if you give two ideas, it confuses them. On the other hand, it would seem as a matter of principle that Rav Kook is saying he doesn't differentiate. In other words, even children who have that need for simplicity, it's good that they know already from a young age that the Torah is multifaceted, that there is this explanation and that explanation. And if, theoretically, you get to a certain age and one of those explanations doesn't speak to you anymore, and you know what, even if both of those reasons don't speak to you anymore, the fact that there were two and your teacher told you, well, this is a partial truth and this is another part of the truth, that gives the person the justification and the drive to look for a third one or a fourth one.
One of the worst causes of posterity is the my way or the highway approach. You know, that somebody says, "My, you know, everybody else out there is that's not really Yiddishkeit. This is sort of, but this what I'm saying is it.
Yeah,
you know?
That all the truth is in my pocket."
Right.
Rav Mordechai Willig put it nicely. He says that one of the reasons why so many people leave the derech is because the derech is so thin. But if we would have a 12-lane highway, then then people would find their way.
Don't
make the mistake to think. Just to mention again, Hav Amina, I would have thought that pedagogically, didactically, educationally, it's better to choose one. Let's choose one of the reasons or one of the explanations and let's keep it simple. Rav Kook says, no. In other words, I understand the question, the thought is a nice idea, but not on this topic. You have to keep them one at a time, maybe. One today, one tomorrow, maybe. He doesn't go into details, obviously. Also, in addition to that, never, and this is connected with what I just said a couple of minutes ago, I learned in education very early never to say all. Right?
Or never.
In other words, you never know when something is going to surprise you, when archaeology is going to find a new surprise, when Rav Kook is going to, a new paragraph of his writing is going to surface, and always leave your options open. I was once in the Midrashah, which I taught in. I don't want to give too many details so that nobody at home could figure out who it's talking about, but one of the teachers in one of his classes was very adamant about a certain point. And mitav advarim, this is very, especially in girls' midrashot, where as opposed to in the men's yeshivot, usually have one ram, and maybe one or two other shiurim. In the girls' midrashot, you could have 12, 15 different teachers during the day. It's mostly shiurim, all day, all night shiurim. So inevitably, it comes across a lot. As a head of the midrash, I would get this all the time. Well, in one shiur, he said this. And in another shiur, another Rav said something that. And my job was to harmonize the two, because, again, there's truth in this and there's truth in that. And I Davka chose a staff which had that tolerance, which had that harmonic vision, where not that everyone says everything and you come up with nothing. Everyone has their own derech, but they all respected all the other drachim as well. And then there was one teacher, all of a sudden, who I thought had that good trait. And in one of the shiurim, he says, there is no such opinion in Judaism. And one of the girls says, but this other rabbi said there was. He said, no, there's no... And as soon as I heard that, I took him over to the side and said, listen, I've been in education such and such years. Never say there's no such opinion. Have you gone through all the books, all the... Rav Amital, in one place, he writes that Rav Kook, in all of his writings, only mentions the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael one time. And I mention it because Rav Amital is quoted it. And I've heard from different rabbis of Meimad quoting Rav Amital. I heard it from Rav Malkior. I heard, I believe, Rav Brin quoted him, his son-in-law. And like this is known thing that Rav Tzvi Yehuda, as if it were, he was the one who brought the idea of conquering Eretz Yisrael to the camp of Rav Kook. And today, with computers and with the database in the house of Rav Kook, where I am in charge of the archives, I came across more than 20 different places where Rav Kook alludes to that idea. Now, just to Lila Meitzchut, to give Rav Amital the benefit of the doubt, they didn't have computers. He must not have had a computer or computer searchers when he said it, right? But today,
he didn't have access to as many kitbayot.
Also. But the idea is, never, also when talking with your children, also when, don't be as absolute as you want to be. Always leave that question mark, that room for doubt. You don't know everything. You haven't seen everything. You know, maybe there is something in Australia that you never heard of, right? There's so many things that you don't know. And that's where Rav Kook is saying, never give an absolute reason for the mitzvot, because not that it's not true. Adarabba, all of the different explanations are true. And they're meant to harmonize each other.
And never try to be the be-all and the end-all as a parent or a teacher to give example to your students or your children. Say, oh, you want to know about X? Go to so-and-so. He really knows about it. In other words, if I tell you, I won't know it as well as the other guy.
Yep. שכבר מספיק הוא ליתן למצווה ולא go back again אל יחשוב וחושב כי די לייחס רק אחד מן הטעמים שכבר מספיק הוא ליתן למצווה מציאות. Don't think that one of the explanations, wow, this explanation is so good, this is what I'm going to teach, right? It might really be the best explanation, and maybe mention it first or last, or you know, however you want to put it in, but don't say that this is mimatze, summarizes it all. Ki lo chen hadavar. Ki chol ma she'anu ro'im she'yesh lo hitalut v'yachas le'mitzvah, every single idea that has even some hitalut, even a small smidgen, v'yachas, some small relationship to a mitzvah, kvar hu me'uchadima, that is part of the holistic picture. Even if it's only 1% true, that's part of the picture. 1% is also part of the picture. Mitama chokhma el yona, from that godly wisdom. There's something that I mention very often in lectures. When a student suggests a new idea, and they preface with a word of humility, you know, I don't know if this is right, but, and I always say, if it's logical, then it's clear that there is some truth in it. Right? There is a certain amount of truth in that idea, whether it's 1% or 99%. She'akol galui v'tzafui lifaneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he commanded the mitzvot, he knew all of the different directions. Maybe here I'll mention, Rav Tzvi Yehuda once mentioned there's a famous stira, famous contradiction between the Rambam in Hilchot Tfilah, where the Rambam in Mishneh Torah obviously is based on the Gemara, and he paskens the Gemara straight, quoting the Gemara in Perek Tet, Halacha Zayin of Hilchot Tfilah. Misha amar betachnunim, misha richem malkan sipor, shaloli kacha im alabanim, o shaloli shchot oto ved beno biyom echad, yirachem alenu chiyot binyan ze, mishatkin oto. That a Mishnah tells us, and the Rambam brings down Halacha, that if somebody says the reason why we chase away the mother before we take the chicks from the nest is because look how merciful the ways of God are. If somebody says that in davening, you shut him up. You take him down from being a chazan, even in the middle of the davening. On the other hand, the Rambam himself in Moreh Nevuchim, as we mentioned before, Ol Chelek Gimel, he suggests explanation after explanation, explanation after explanation for so many different mitzvot. So what is the difference between in Hilchot Tefillah, he says, if this is the reason, you shut him up. And the Rambam himself does it all the time.
Limiting it to one.
Oh. So just to read the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, on that particular mitzvah, Chelek Gimel, Perek Memchet, Chelek Gimel, Perek Memchet, the Rambam writes as follows. Ki avat ha'em v'chaninata ala ben eino tozaa shel higayon el pulat ha'koach medame ha'matzui berov ba'alei ha'chayim kemetziuto ba'adam, etc., etc. Kol sheken klapei ishei min ha'adam b'chlaluto ואל תקשי עליי באומרם אומר על כאן ציפור יגיעו רחמך משתקין אותו, כי זו אחת משתי הסברות אשר הזכרנו. Right, that's one of the opinions. And here, I'm taking the second opinion. So based on what we saw here today, how would we answer the contradiction of the Rambam? Number one, don't say this is the only explanation. That's number one. Rav Tzvi the cook used to add another explanation. He said that there's a difference when you're davening and when you're learning. When you're learning in the Beit Midrash, you can say anything. You should suggest anything. Put it on the table. If it's dismissed, okay, it's dismissed. Brainstorming, exactly. That's the Beit Midrash. When you're davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when you have to remember, we don't know.
It's la halakha. It's halakha. That's halakha.
Right.
So that's shach. But it's also the fact that you're standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's two things there.
Right.
It's more than one there.
Right.
It's the halakhic aspect because the Gemara is poskening, this is the way to daven, and that's a halakha. But the other aspect is also the metaphysical aspect that you are not just in front of your Chaberim, you're in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Much as people talk during the through the davening seem to think that they're just with their Chaberim right. When they're in shul, but it's not the case.
And here Rav Kook comes up with a beautiful explanation. Vashem chafetz leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. We all know this from the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina ben Akashi Omer, Ratzal Kadosh Baruch Hu zakot et Yisrael. And here Rav Kook apparently is offering a unique explanation why out of all the Agadotot, right, there are thousands of Agadotot, thousands of Midrashim, this is the one which we say before Kaddish Derabbanan. Rav Kook is explaining because the Pasuk which they're darshan is Hashem Chafetz Lema'an Tzidko. Hashem who wants to add a lot of his righteousness Yagdil Torah v'yadir will make a great quantity of Torah. Now, usually when a person gives a Dvar Torah, you know, there's the old joke that says, why do we say Rabbi Chanina ben Akashia before saying Kaddish? Or the Rav just gave a whole shiur. So one joke says, because everyone fell asleep, and at least this way,
yeah,
everyone will hear a Dvar Torah before they say Kaddish Rabbanan. Another anyway, Bekitzur.
You might have been just saying nonsense all the time. Oh. At least we have that.
Another joke is again that well, the rabbi, he was just darshaning. He was speaking to the audience. There was a message that he wanted to get across to a certain community at a certain time, and he somehow tied it in directly or indirectly, successfully or not so successfully. He tied it in with Parshat HaShavua.
Rav Kook
is saying, yes, that's Torah as well, even if it was just 1%. That's part of the Torah. If the rabbi in a certain kehillah made a certain statement, and he obviously we're talking within the perimeters of the truth, right? Now we're not talking about reform ideas or things like that.
Right,
but even when we're talking about darshanut, you know, usually halacha has to be logical. It has to be based. It has to have sources. It has to have svara. It's built, you know, like geometry. It's provable. Agarata, like I wrote this week in the Rosh Yehudi, the Rambam himself writes in Moreh Nevuchim, and it's mentioned in the Tikkuni Zohar, you don't ask questions on Midrashim. Why? Because on a certain Midrash they wanted to stress a certain point, another Midrash wanted to stress another point. We're not talking factual, we're not talking historical. And
but you can ask on the internal logic of a Siegel Midrash.
Yeah. So therefore, what is Rav Kook saying? Hashem chafetz leman tziko yagdil Torah v'yadir. I think he's saying that why this is the Midrash which we chose before every Kaddish Derabbanan is because even if you disagree with what the rabbi said, or even if it was just drash, and it was a little schlepped, a little mi'ulatz, how do you say in English?
Forced.
Strained. That is also considered Torah. How much more so when we're talking about tamei mitzvot, the godly mitzvot, any benefit that anyone ever sees, if it's a benefit, that was meant. That was part of what God had in mind when he gave the mitzvah. Okay. Kevan sheyesh limtso arba dvarim. And therefore, because there are four different ideas that come out of this mitzvah of leaving the peyah on the corner, and here Rav Kook is addressing beautifully the question, what? I don't know how to count. Why does Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai start out the Agarata? There are four reasons. I know how to count. You know, and you know what? Even if I don't know how to count, let's wait and I'll count them as we go. You know? So he says, no. He says that the idea is bibitcha anu omrim shemipnei arba dvarim amra Torah. All four of the reasons have to be said. Don't choose one. Don't choose a second. Lay them all out on the table to give the harmony, to give the colors. Dvarim amra Torah laniach pim b'zeh v'lo rak mimnei achad mielu arba v'hu adin lechol ha-toladot ha-sichliot ha-efshariot latzit me'ora shel Torah. And the same thing is true with any truth, with any idea that is in the future going to come out of the shades of the Torah, the lights of Torah. Again, there are many lights in the Torah. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This is truth, and this is truth. God had this in mind, and that in mind, and this in mind, and that in mind. And I would go so far as to say, I would imagine that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would also, if somebody today were to come up with a fifth or a sixth explanation, he would accept that as well, because that's the idea. It's not one explanation. Say them all.
Okay, what I want.